Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Back in March, Pastor Kirk was teaching about knowing God's will. How shall I live? What shall I do? What color socks should I wear? This discussion got me to thinking about how I used to want to hear a play-by-play, like a radio announcer, to tell me which shoes to wear, how high to step, what to do, and where to go. But the Lord answered me with, "The just shall live by faith." Habakkuk 2:4. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And in Hebrews 10:38, but the righteous one shall live by my faith. And if he gives it up, my soul is not pleased with him. Or from another translation, but my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. We do not hear a play-by-play announcer, but we do need to hear. So is it faith versus hearing, or faith and hearing? Scripture teaches that we need to hear God's voice and follow him. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. This scripture tests us. Are you his sheep? Many people say they are Christians, but what do they mean? What do they hear? How do they follow him? If anyone seeks to do my will, he shall know of my teachings. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking of my own authority. John 7:17. And that, of course, you know, we know from the first scripture I read that we want to do God's will because we want to enter into heaven. And that is if you are a believer. But the Old Testament, too, in Jeremiah 7:23, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. So both the Old Testament and the New Testament focus on obeying God's voice and doing God's will by faith. A long time ago, I chose to become a disciple. Am I still a disciple? I once heard the Spirit say, I have many disciples. Shall I keep you as one, as my disciple? Wasn't exactly being obedient. Is he keeping you? Are you hearing the voice of God and obeying? When I began to hear the voice of God, I thought I was the only one. I could not find anyone to help me live by faith. Who could I turn to but God? I clung to John 14:26. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. But why am I still deaf, dull, dumb, and oh so slow? Someone will say, you can't hear God's voice. Have you been around where there's even Christians that will say, you know, you can't hear, they contradict the word. If you seek to do God's will, someone will say to you, be careful. What do they mean, be careful? Scriptures say to be careful too. In John 1:4, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. From whom are you hearing? Man? An angel? A lying spirit? Your own mind? From the world? If you seek to do God's will, walk in his ways and not in the world's ways or the flesh. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And Proverbs 3:6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Can you know if all your ways are acknowledging him? Because if they are not, you'll find out, because your faith will be tested. You should expect testing. James 1:3, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. What is testing? Who allows testing? Who gives the test? How are we tested? Is Satan part of our testing? Why does Satan accuse us? Who forms weapons against us? If you can answer these questions, you have probably been through some testing. I'm going to give you a definition. A weapon, a personal attack by a real enemy who is an evil genius who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It is personal. Do not be surprised that it is personal. The evil genius knows where the bodies are buried because he killed and murdered and slaughtered you or your family before, and he doesn't wish to see you get over anything or any of the works of darkness. Did anyone say evil genius? Lying spirit? We are not ignorant of his devices. Have you read that scripture? Well, when I read that scripture, I thought, I'm ignorant. What are his devices? Well, you get to find out. If you have overcome or been in the battle before, otherwise, fight the fight of faith. Put on the whole armor of God, and you will enjoy that battle if you have the whole armor on. Isaiah 54:17. But no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment shall show to be in the wrong. This peace, righteousness, security, triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, those in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced. This is the righteousness or the vindication which they obtain from me. This is that which I impart to them as their justification, says the Lord. Peace, righteousness, security, triumph over opposition. It is amazing. But now back to Proverbs 3:6. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. From the King James Bible, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenants and his testimonies. And the New American Standard, all the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenants and his testimonies. I found this piece written by John Piper, and I'd like to read it to you. It's on Be Careful of the Root of Bitterness. Hebrews 12:15. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up, causes trouble, and by it many are defiled. Let's ask a few questions. First of all, does root of bitterness mean that the root is bitterness, like a block of wood? Or does it mean that the root grows up into a plant and bears bitter fruit? Second, does the bitterness in Hebrews 12:15 mean festering anger, like bitterness? Or does it mean poisonous and foul? Third, where did this image of the root of bitterness come from? Let's start with the last question. Answer. It came from Deuteronomy 29:18. Beware lest there be among you a man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations, lest they be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit. This background also helps us to answer the first two questions. The root is not itself bitterness, but rather bears the fruit of bitterness. And the bitterness it bears is something poisonous. This bitter fruit may be festering anger, or it may be something else. Say, unbelief. The point seems to be that it is deadly. The key question is, what is the root that causes deadly bitter fruit to sprout in the church? The next verse in Deuteronomy 29 gives the surprising answer, but it fits perfectly with the book of Hebrews, verse 18. Lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit. Then verse 19 begins by defining this root. One who, when he hears the words of this sworn covenant, blesses himself in his heart and says, I shall be safe, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. This would lead to the sweeping away of moist and dry alike. What then is the root that brings forth the bitter fruit? It is a person who has the wrong view of eternal security. He feels secure when he is not secure. He says, I shall be safe, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. He misunderstands the covenant God makes. He thinks that because he is part of the covenant people, he is secure from God's judgments. This kind of presumption is what the book of Hebrews deals with repeatedly. Professing Christians who think they are secure because of some past spiritual experience or some present association with Christian people. The aim in Hebrews is to cure Christians of presumption and to cultivate earnest perseverance in the faith and holiness. At least four times it warns that we must not neglect our great salvation, but be vigilant to fight the fight of faith every day, lest we become hardened and fall away and prove that we have no share in Christ. This is also the very point of the context of the term root of bitterness in Hebrews 12:15. Pursue peace with all men and sanctification, without which no one will see the Lord. I'll read that again. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up, causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. This is a warning not to treat holiness lightly or to presume upon more grace. Therefore, a root of bitterness is a person or doctrine in the church which encourages people to act presumptuously and treat salvation as an automatic thing that does not require a life of vigilance in the fight of faith and the pursuit of holiness. Such a person or doctrine defiles many and can lead to the experience of Esau, who played fast and loose with his inheritance and caused men and could not repent in the end and find life. Do not be like Esau. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many, that no one may be guilty of sexual vice or become a profane, godless, sacrilegious person as Esau did, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. Do not sell your birthright for a single profane act, your birthright to the city of the living God. Now, a few weeks ago, we were talking about Simon the sorcerer, and that is he is also an example of the root of bitterness. Paul said to him, your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Now, Simon had become a believer, but he thought that he could buy the gifts of the Spirit, you know, buy the laying on the hands. He wanted that gift, and so he thought he would buy it. And, of course, that exposed his heart. But I think because the Scripture, I mean, I'm certainly hoping, because the Scripture used him as this great example, that he had enough time to correct his ways. So, cut through and make firm and plain and smooth straight paths for your feet. Yes, make them safe and upright and happy paths that go in the right direction, so that the lame and halting limbs may not be put out of joint, but rather may be cured. I wonder, I'm going to bring two dictionary definitions to you, and I want you to may perhaps think about what Scripture will include. The noun chastisement usually means a verbal reprimand. It can also describe physical punishment or a beating. When it's used in the Bible, that almost always is what it means. The Latin root of chastise is castigare, which means to set or keep right or to make pure. And then scourge, to afflict with severe and widespread suffering and devastation, ravage, to chastise severely, excoriate, to flog. Now, is anyone ready to guess which scripture that is, what would refer to? How about Hebrews 12?
The chastening of the Lord.
Huh?
The chastening of the Lord.
Hebrews 12. My son, do not think lightly or scorn to submit to the correction and discipline of the Lord, nor lose courage or give up and faint when you are reproved or corrected by him. For the Lord corrects and disciplines everyone whom he loves, and he punishes, even scourges, every son whom he accepts and welcomes to his heart. You must submit to and endure the correction or discipline. Now, I personally have gone through a lot of scourging, good luck. It is valuable afterwards. I'd say that. But what, you know, after you've been through this scourging and you've been through the chastisement of the Lord, then there is the life in the Spirit. And it is where you are hearing God's voice and obeying. You have joy because you have known his chastisement, and you trust and love him. I deeply appreciate the Holy Spirit speaking a verse to me or letting me hear a song. And many times this happens during the night or when I'm waking up. And I know many Christians that have no idea what I'm talking about. And I think, I don't know why, but, you know, if the Scripture's there for you to search it, and we're supposed to seek to hear God's voice. And I probably needed him more than most people, but it is such a blessing to have the Holy Spirit, and I don't think I could be a Christian without that encouragement. And someone shared with me on Facebook a song, and the lyrics are, some of the lyrics are, "It's worth it, brothers, it's worth it, friends, to know your Maker, to lose your sin. Did you know that you are dearly loved?" And I'm having Nate play that. I have friends who are Christians, and somewhat they've heard the gospel, they've accepted some level, and yet they still are living sinful lives, choosing sinful lives, ignoring the scriptures, ignoring the warnings, and friends that their children have turned to, turn the gospel on their head and want a different gospel message. And, you know, I, even though there's scourging, it is wonderful to know the Lord and to be confident that you got the real thing. And I have one last verse that I heard just the other morning. Man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.